it's New Year's Eve, and we're having a New Year's Eve party here at Election Profit Makers. and we're waiting for the ball to drop. And my name's David, and I'm drinking champagne, and I'm here with my buddy John, and John is drinking Prosecco straight from Italy, from a horse farm in Italy.
Yeah.
Isn't that true, John?
Yes, that's true. That's
okay,
thank you very much.
That's
what I'm drinking. I'm actually drinking Propel.
What's
out of my Yeti, you know, just like one of these hydration, you know, like Gatorade or something.
It's like a hydration technology.
It's a hydration technology, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to find, listeners, an unusually effervescent and bubbly episode of Election Profit Makers because it's New Year's Eve, the final day of 2024. And what a year it's been. You're going to feel like you're at a party at the Great Gatsby's mansion in New England, I think is where he's from.
I thought we were in New York.
Oh, yeah. He's on Long Island, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to think you're at a party at the Great Gatsby's mansion on Long Island. With the way this episode's going to be so freaking effervescent.
Did we make predictions for this year?
Bingo cards, you mean?
Yeah, I know we didn't make.
I don't think we made bingo cards this year. I think bingo cards was a 2023 thing.
But I do remember predicting that this year was going to be really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
So in the end, do you think this year was really bad, 2024?
Yes.
Speak on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course it was really bad. I remembered we talked about it and I was like, it's going to be a terrible year because of the election and the fact that Trump is winning. And whether he wins or loses, it's going to be really, really damaging to the country.
By that logic, 2025 will be a worse year than 2024 insofar as 2024 was bad only insofar as to what it portends for 2025.
I know. I don't really want to say that, though, but I think it might just be really bad again.
Fuck my life.
I know.
Are you fucking kidding me, bro?
I know. Don't tell anyone. It's going to suck again.
God damn it. If we have to go through another sucky year, I'm going to pull my hair out.
We started the podcast in 2016. We've had some bad years.
Remember 2020? That was a pretty nice year. Global pandemic. That was pretty nice.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about this other year that we had called 2023 that I'd completely forgotten about. I looked at some date in some magazine or something and they were talking about 2023 and I was like, what the fuck was that? I didn't even catch the reference. I didn't realize it was a year.
Yeah.
But it was a year. It was like last year, 2023, I'd completely forgotten about it.
Yeah. Barbie.
Right. It was Barbenheimer.
Yeah.
And then we got 2025 is right around the corner. I mean, we're going to be there this time tomorrow. We're going to be in 2025. I'm going to be freaking out.
Oh, my God. It's 2025. You know what that means. We're old. 2025.
The only good thing
about 20... and you were like, I wonder what it would be like in 2025. You'd be like, oh, I'll just be talking on my computer and having a bad internet connection.
I'll be in a bad mood because.
Yeah.
The good thing about next year, 2025, is that that marks officially that we will only be 500 years from the year 2525, which is when the song kicks off.
That's right.
If you've listened to the Tournament of Numbers songs, you know what song I'm talking about. In the year 2525. Things start getting dicey. Did you like that? That's my party voice.
Yeah.
John, speaking of voices and songs and stuff like that, this morning when I was out in my car, I made up this incredible song. And everyone knows I'm working on my Netflix comedy special. And I thought that this song could be a good – it'll be my walk-on music. The song goes like this. It's just a little ditty. It goes – I don't know where this came from, but I'm so grateful to the creative wellspring in my soul that gave me this song.
Okay, now this is an example
where
you've actually made this song up before we've gone on the air. Most of the time, people think that you are faking it when you go into these random songs live when we're recording, but you haven't done that in the past.
Oh, you mean like if I just start, if you say something and I start singing a song? No, I'm just making it up. I'm just goofing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this song I wrote.
But this one you've actually written and put down to paper.
I haven't put it on paper yet, but it is sealed. It is sealed in the vaults of songwriting immortality.
Okay, let's hear it.
Now, you have to imagine this song. Well, I had to go out this morning to move my car for street cleaning, okay? I park on the street like an animal, okay? Everyone happy? I'm a regular guy, okay? I'm in my car and I'm looking around at all these other cars and it's like the morning. I'm thinking about like, where did all these cars come from or where did they go? And I was like, oh, right, people are driving to work. And then it came to me, this song. People driving to work, people driving to work in society. Now that's heavy, right? It's so suggestive of how we live in this machinery of post-industrial capitalism that requires all of us to get into our cars and go to our jobs.
Yeah, people like a rat race or something. Yeah,
people driving to work in society. And I thought it would be cool in my Netflix special if that's the song that I come out to, because it's reminding the audience very subtly, like, that they're trapped.
Yeah, that this is serious, that you're telling jokes, but that in the end.
Exactly. Like, I'm here to lighten the load, but when this comedy show is over and I cash my check for $1 million and the Netflix executives give me a standing ovation, y'all are still going to be trapped. And that's why it's so important that you laugh at my jokes. Now, let's review my jokes. In one of my jokes, I'm going to refer to infrastructure as winfrastructure.
Yeah, that's
funny. Then I thought it would be really cool if when I did that, they cut to the shot in the audience, you know, like when they do that and they have like the audience reaction shot of somebody laughing. And when I make my winfrastructure joke, there's a bridge sitting in the audience who gives me a standing ovation. And then I'm going to say the thing about I'm tired of trying to build bridges to my fellow Americans. Why can't we build bridges over some bodies of water for once? And then the one that's really going to get the headlines is when I say, Elon Musk has too much time on his hands and he has too much money on his hands as well. And I'm hit money. So I've underlined that on my notepad so that I remember to emphasize the word money. So that's where we're at with my creative project. John, where are we with your creative project? Have you started reading Cormac McCarthy's classic novel of the American West called Blood Meridian?
I have put it off as long as I possibly could, and then I woke up this morning, and I started reading it.
Wait, you started this morning?
I started this morning.
Okay, so how many pages have you read?
Well, I don't know how many pages because it's on my phone, but I've read 4 chapters.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I think like 15% of the book. At least that's what it says.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. I mean, the chapters aren't very
really
long.
I'm really surprised and impressed. So what do you think? You're reading Blood Meridian. We did it, guys. We got John to read Blood Meridian.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of wanted to go on to the fifth chapter. I mean, the fourth chapter just ends in so much gore and violence. And it's just – and then I switch to the fifth chapter and I'm like, oh, it's a new chapter. Thank goodness. And then I look at the summary in the fifth chapter, and it says, Tree of Dead Babies. Scenes from a Massacre. Night Among the Dead.
Right, because at the top of each chapter, he does that old-timey thing that I think they used to do in old-timey books where they kind of list what's going to happen in the chapter. Like spoilers, pre-spoiled.
So I'm like, oh, God, this chapter 5 is going to be way worse than chapter 4.
I forgot about the Tree of Dead Babies.
I don't know what that is, but I guess, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. He tells you what's going to happen.
Right.
And then so here are my thoughts. I enjoyed the way it started geographically. He starts talking about how he's moving west across Tennessee. I can just see all of this.
Because of your knowledge of American geography
and
topography.
And he goes to Memphis. Then he heads up to St. Louis, ends up getting shot in St. Louis, gets on a boat, goes down the Mississippi.
And who is he? Tell everyone who the protagonist is.
The kid. What's his name?
I think he's just called the kid, right?
Yeah.
Isn't he just some kid?
Yeah. He's just a kid.
He's just a kid.
A teenager who's
I'm just a kid. Don't make me feel like a man. Hall & Oates' best song, by the way. Deep cut from Abandoned Luncheonette. Continue, John.
Yeah, that is a deep cut. So yeah, then he heads down to New Orleans and into Galveston and up to Nacogdoches. We knew someone from Nacogdoches.
We did? Bruh, did I tell you about when I saw his brother at a show at the Cat's Cradle and his little brother was tripping on mushrooms and came up to me and started talking to me?
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, well, they were from Nacogdoches.
Interesting. Okay.
And then there's a Nacogdoches in, or something close to that, named across the border in Louisiana. I think they were two like Indian brothers that separated and then the different towns were named for that. Whatever. Anyway, so he goes to Nacogdoches and I don't know, I think some more people die and he sees a lynching. I don't know. I mean, this guy.
So this kid is traveling, gallivanting all over the United States, getting into all kinds of scrapes, like Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, and it's just not clear why he's getting into the scrapes. He doesn't really. He just like, I'm walking along the path, and this guy is not giving way. I'm obviously going to kick him in the jaw. And first of all, I'm like, that. There isn't anything about getting him on the ground, so I guess this guy can really kick high. He kicks this guy in the jaw.
Well, he's a Taekwondo master. I guess they haven't – sorry to spoil the book, but it turns out he studied Taekwondo.
Okay. All right. Well, then he ends up – this guy that he beats up, the two of them go to another bar – or no, to a hotel and beat somebody up and set the hotel on fire. Right? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know, man. It's been a long time since
and
I read
I'm like,
it.
So I went back and had to reread that because I thought I got it wrong. And then, no, that was the case. The guy he got in a fight with, but then they became friends. Although it doesn't say they became friends. It just – they went off and beat up some guy in a hotel and set it on
fire. So they're acting like friends.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's that guy? Toadvine, I think, is his name.
And have you met the character of the judge?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The judge was at the revival,
okay,
and took on the preacher and said that he was wanted for all these horrible things that he had done in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And then he went to the bar and everyone was like, well, how did you know, judge, what happened in Hot Springs? You must be from Hot Springs. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not from Hot Springs. And they're like, well, what about the things that you said that he did in Hot Springs? And he was like, I didn't say he did anything in Hot Springs. And then they all like had a big laugh about it. So I guess he just made that. There's some bad people in this.
Will you read us a selection really quickly?
Sure.
I want to hear Cormac McCarthy's prose out of your mouth. I think that would be a great way to end this year.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna read the last page of chapter 4.
Okay.
It starts in mid-sentence, so we'll just say that. So, gore they might.